We're going to prepare ourselves to receive the word today. We've been in this series called Spirit, hearing all about the Holy Spirit. And when we preach about the Holy Spirit, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, when we pray about the Holy Spirit, guess what? Holy Spirit turns up. And we just saw the Holy Spirit ministering to people in powerful ways in the 9 a.m. service. And I'm expectant here for the 11 as well. And we have our amazing senior pastor, Pastor Jill, coming up to share the word this morning. So would you please welcome Pastor Jill.
Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be with you. Father God, we want to come before you and say thank you for your word. What a privilege it is that we can hold your word, read your word, gather around your word, and Holy Spirit, that you come and you bring revelation. That these aren't dry words on a page, but you bring revelation. You have purpose. You have plans. You want to equip us. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, now that as we look into your word, as we hear from you, that you would transform us, you would change us, that we would receive gifts from you, that we would be empowered by you so that we could be effective for you and we could give glory to our Father in heaven and our wonderful King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Give someone a high five and say, I'm expectant. I'm expectant. We should always be expectant of the word of God. Hey, we position ourselves to be expectant. So we are we've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And whilst this is the fourth and it's the final one in the series, we're not closing the series. It's not the end of a chapter. It's merely a launching pad. And it's been a way in which we can create a conversation anew and again and an expectation around the Holy Spirit. So the first week we learned about who the Holy Spirit is and how he helps us. The second week we learned about the fact that God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. So when we give our hearts to Jesus, we're saved and we receive the Holy Spirit. But then God, but wait, it's like those TV commercials, but wait, there's more, okay? He wants to fill us. He wants to immerse us. He wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. So you need to learn more about that. That's for everybody. It's not just for the pages of the Bible. It's not just for your neighbor. It's for you. So go ahead and listen to that. And even if you were there, listen again, remind yourself again. And then last week, we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis, dynamite, explosive power of the Holy Spirit, both in us and through us. And all of that has led to us talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because we have to keep that as a foundation and a framework to be able to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the first, the primary, the most important gift of the Holy Spirit, I know you're wanting to know, which is it? Which is the main one? It is the Holy Spirit. It is Him Himself. He is the gift. He is a gift and he is a person, a person in the Godhead. And my amazing husband, wherever he is, I'm glancing around. Oh, he moved seats. My amazing husband is a gift from God to me. Not a gift from God for me, a gift from God to me. And our marriage is a gift. And in the same way, he is a person. He's not a fancy, fandangled kitchen appliance that I use to do fancy things with. And when I don't need anymore, I put him on a shelf or put him away in the pantry. Or when I'm tired of him, or when I don't want to have him hanging around, I put him away and tidy him away. He's not a gift like you get at Christmas. Okay, he is a person. He is always there. It is the same with the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. He is a gift, he's a person, and he wants to be with you at all times. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father so that the Father can send a gift, the Holy Spirit, who is exactly like me. And he will be with you always. So that's who we're talking about when we talk about the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are an expression of his personality. They're expression of his character. They're part of who he is. And he gives them out and shares them. So we're going to talk about those gifts today. But it's important that we have a little bit of framework and foundation. Because when you read your Bible, it's always important to read the scriptures that go before and go after. Because Scripture is always spoken in a context. So we're going to give some context. And the first context we're going to talk about the gifts is this. It's not about you. And it's not about me. So to help me remember that, can you repeat that to me? Can you just say, it's not about me?
It's not about me.
Oh, you're right. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about him.
Yes.
It's about the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do. If you imagine, for example, that this is room is full of gifts. Now, you don't need to really imagine that hard because it is. But this room is full of gifts and the Holy Spirit is like the conductor and he does this. And all the instruments, all those gifts rise. And then he brings out the symphony, providing there's been a whole lot of practice beforehand and learning, okay? Otherwise it might sound a bit like cats screeching. But he does this and there's this beautiful symphony and we all have our part. We're a whole. So it's not about me as an individual. It's about the whole. It's about all of us together. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. I love that. It's to each one. So it's for everyone. It's not just for some. We all get to receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. And it's given for the common good. Common good. So I don't receive a gift from the Holy Spirit for me. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are entrusted to me for others. It's so that the Holy Spirit can minister through me to others. Okay, they're not to make my life for my betterment. They're not for my private and personal enrichment. They're for others. The only gift that is mentioned of all the gifts, there's one gift that is mentioned that is for your own personal enrichment. And that is one of the types of gifts of tongues. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So there is a gift of tongues, a language that you can receive from the Holy Spirit that God means to build up and edify yourself, for you to have as a prayer language, a praise language, to be part of that. We don't choose the gifts we get. Now, I don't know how many of you are present people, gift people who get excited about Christmas, who are the ones who go and destroy the gifts by shaking them, smelling them, rattling them, and doing all that sort of thing to the gifts under the tree. Or maybe you're that person who, I know exactly what I want. Here's a little list. And then you share it with the family, maybe on an app, and you tell them where to go buy it and everything else. And that's your gift. That's not how it works with God. We don't give him a little list and he says, oh, okay, then, and he has the gift. He chooses.
Yeah.
What we choose to get to choose is what we do with it. Okay, that's what we get to do. But he chooses what we receive and when we receive it. So that's a little bit of an adjustment in our thinking. And then gifts, as I said, are to build up and endorse the body. They're not to build up and endorse my own ministry, my own platform, my own profile. Now, some gifts result in profile, in platform. That happens, but those gifts often require a greater weight, and they, someone has grown in those giftings. We don't look for giftings to give us that. I don't know if you've ever been that person who's looked at a gifting someone else has or a talent and gone, oh, I really wish I had that talent. I don't know if you've done that. All my sisters have beautiful voices. Like they sang at very exclusive choirs and things. They have beautiful voices. Me, not so much. And I always looked at them and went, why? Jesus, why? I have the same DNA. Why? And I would always, I'd go and ambitiously audition for the choir, and I'd always get that one mark below, which qualified you. You know, I think it was the music teacher just trying. I don't know if it was encouragement. I'd rather she'd given me like three below, because I just kept coming back. I don't think it worked the way she wanted it to work. But they all have these gifts, and what we have to realize is that what happens when we do that is we stop seeing what God has gifted us with.
Yeah, wow.
And we need to stop looking at others and desiring the gifts that God has put in others, because they're not more important, they're not more valued, they're not more higher profile. In God, they're all the same. It's the same Holy Spirit that gives all the gifts. So that's something we need to learn. And the other thing that's really important is it's not about your personality. It's not about your preferences. It's not about your comfort zone. I am an introvert. When I got COVID and I had to isolate for a week, I was in my happy place. I had my bedroom and my study to myself and my bathroom. It was wonderful. And my family were very loving and looked after me. But I'm an introvert by nature. This is not me natural. Okay? So don't think that your gifting will align with your personality or your comfort zones because God made you that way. He deliberately chooses things that make you feel uncomfortable so you can rely on him. So get encouraged with that. Why don't you turn with me to Romans 12? Now we're going to be in our Bibles a fair bit, so open up your Bible, open up your app, open up your Bible on your phone, wherever you've got your Bible, we're going to be writing and we are going to be reading from the Word of God, because it's important that we go and look at these things in the Word and don't just hear someone tell us. It says in Romans 12 verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others." Now you might be going, "Jill, but we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about the body of Christ." And I said, yes, but Paul is at pains to put this out before he, immediately before he talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because we're one body. Because we have many gifts. And we get to appreciate it because the other people have those other gifts here that can bless us. So we're part of a body. We don't need to have all the gifts to be effective. We work best as a body together. Together. It's not meant to be in isolation and they're not meant to be for me. So when we talk about these gifts, and we're going to talk about some of the gifts, and if you're in the app, you'll notice there's a bunch of scriptures listed there. I'm not going through all of those scriptures. Those have been done so that you can go away from here and read the Word and explore more what God has to say. But I'm going to build a framework first, because it's very important that we understand these things within a framework and we think about them from God's perspective. We have said that the gifts are the Holy Spirit's gifts to give, and he entrusts them to us. They're not ours. We don't own them. They're not given for my benefit. The other thing, another thing that is important for us to realize is that Holy Spirit gifts are not our natural talents. We are given natural talents and abilities by God. They're still given by God when we're born. And hopefully we steward them well, we get opportunities to develop them, etc. But those are natural talents. We're talking about supernatural giftings of the Holy Spirit. And someone asked me afterwards, "Well, what's the difference? How's an example? How do you not get confused between your natural talents and supernatural Holy Spirit ability?" And here's an example I can think of, is that you might find someone who grows up and they have a natural ability to cook. And they have a natural ability to make things really beautifully in the kitchen. And so they work on that. And maybe they become a chef, or they're just one of those people who cook excellently. Or they become a competitor on MasterChef or My Kitchen Rules or something like that. You know, but they do these things and they can cook well. But there is a reality that there are many chefs that a restaurant owner will not let into the front of house, because it doesn't necessarily mean they have a gift of hospitality. Now, a gift of hospitality from a supernatural point of view doesn't mean that you can cook necessarily. And you're going, what? Doesn't mean you can cook. Well, a gift of hospitality is someone who makes you feel at home, no matter where they are. It's a supernatural Holy Spirit ability to make you feel at home. They make you feel seen. They make you feel valued. They connect you with others so you feel like you're part of the family. And people always want to go to their house for a meal even if they don't know how to cook well. They always want to go there. They want to hang out there. So that's a difference. Can you see the difference between natural talent and God's Holy Spirit giftings? And the other thing that happens with his giftings is he uses different giftings at different times. He doesn't need all the giftings all the time in every circumstance. It's an orchestra, so there's certain times. So we can be effectively like a conduit for the Holy Spirit to minister into a situation with the gift he's placed in our hand when we do that well. There's a difference between the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit comes from within us. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit comes and fills us and dwells in us. And out of that grows fruit. Like on a tree, it grows from the tree. It grows from what God is doing inside. Gifts are what God places in our hands for us to serve and work for Him. They're not the Holy Spirit in us producing fruit. There's also different kinds of gifts. You can have ministry gifts and you can have leadership gifts. We're in danger in the world. We have this pattern where we are looking for promotion. And so we're looking for promotion and going to the next level. Now, everything good about learning to upskill and develop our skills and pay attention and get better at what we've been put in our hands. But what happens is we want promotion, 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 and then we want promotion to leadership and promotion, and we think that that's a next promotion. But if you read the scriptures, the gift of leadership is separate to ministry giftings. So it's not a promotion. So if we're looking for, oh, we've been doing this thing X number of years and now God should promote me, little word of advice, God's promotion goes this way. The more He promotes you, the more weight you carry, the more you serve, the more you sacrifice. That's how it works. It says Jesus, who was the King of Kings, became the servant of all. That's how God's pattern works. So it's separate too. It's not just because of. And then we can use our gifts in almost any circumstance. We need to look for opportunities to use our giftings. Because if we make our gifting the thing, our reason, our thing that we get behind, then we're elevating the gifting above the giver. We're elevating the gift above the giver. And whereas if we're on about the purposes of God, where we're on about the opportunities and the building up of His house, because that's what it says the gifts of the Holy Spirit are there for, is to build up the church and build up each other, then we're not going to worry about the specific thing. We're going to take every opportunity to serve and to build up His house. So, and then two small other things are that gifts are worked in the community, in togetherness. So we learned about the day of Pentecost the other week, and we talked about it, Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit came with tongues of fire, and they started speaking in different languages, and it says, and then it says, what happened? There are all these people, and it says, now a bunch of you are going to tell me, and Peter stood up and preached. You need to go read Acts chapter 2, it's not what it says. It says, Peter and the 11 stood up. Peter and the 11. You see, we often think of things and giftings in our singular self, particularly in our Western culture. But it's Peter and the 11 stood up. When the lame man at the gate beautiful got healed, it says Peter and John went to pray. Peter and John said to him, look at us. You see, the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate together. They operate with each other. They complement each other. They're not in competition with each other. And gifting is often and regularly recognized by leadership. So if you're not sure, go and sit with your small group leader. Go and sit with those who are mentors or disciples in your world. And go and ask them to talk to you and see what God is doing in your world. So now we're going to jump into the Word, like I said, and we are going to have a look at what the Scripture says. So we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 6, straight after the part that we read just now. And it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. And I'm not going to talk much about prophecy this morning because we've got Gary Morgan coming. You've got Gary Morgan all of Thursday night, all of Friday night, a whole workshop on Saturday. You can come and learn as much as you want about the prophetic ministry and the prophetic gifting. So be there. We're going to leave that for that space. All right. But it says, it also says, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. And if it is to lead, you see how leadership's left separately there? Do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Do it cheerfully. So it tells us how we should minister these gifts. But what I love here is that Paul lists a whole lot of different types of gifts. You know, it's not all one kind of ministry gift. He's talking about serving. He's talking about generosity. He's not. Now, some of you probably thought, if it is to worship lead. That's not mentioned in any of these gifts. You know that. It's not mentioned because we're here to serve. We're here to serve with gifts and talents that he's given us. But here it does say, if it is to serve. That's okay because the Holy Spirit hasn't gifted me with the gift of serving. So I don't really need to serve in church. I don't need to help out any of the teams because it's not my... That's not what this says. This is the supernatural gift of serving. Because the Bible also says that we should have the same attitude of Jesus, who came as a servant and was obedient unto death. So we're all called to serve. We're all called to serve each other. Those are just opportunities to minister in our gifting. That's what they are. This is supernatural serving. This is supernatural giving. This is not our tithes and our offerings. This is people who have an anointing of generosity. They release something of generosity. The Holy Spirit just moves in power and does things in those circumstances. The same with teaching. All these different things, it's about that supernatural difference. We've got to tell the difference between natural and supernatural. The Holy Spirit giftings are supernatural. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and I hope you're managing to follow this all in your notes and in your Bibles, but it says this. It says, now to each one, this is what we read earlier, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Don't you love that? I love that the Holy Spirit gave you a gift to help me. He didn't give you a gift to help you, he gave you a gift to help me. I think that's awesome. I think that's so good because then I don't have to rely on one person. Look at all the gifts. It's such a benefit. My God is so encouraging. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge. Can you tell? They say that they're two different types of gifting. Just because you have a gift of knowledge doesn't mean you have a gift of wisdom. Okay? By means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now that's... We receive faith. We receive salvation by faith. But this is supernatural faith for believing for the absolute miraculous. To another, gifts of healing. That's plural. There's all different kinds of gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers. How many of you are expectant that someone here has miraculous powers? And I'm not talking Marvel Studios. I'm talking King of the earth, King of the universe, creator of the world, supernatural powers. That's what I'm talking. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. You see there it says plural, different kinds. There's many. There's different kinds of tongues. And to still another, interpretation of tongues. Have you ever wondered? My brain does some funny things when I read scripture because I try and make it step outside boxes. And I go, did Peter speak all in the one language and everyone just got supernatural gifts of interpretation? And they just heard it all in their own language? Or did everyone speak in a different language that they hadn't heard of that other people were? So those were gifts of tongues. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 14 says, I think it's 14. I stand to be corrected. 1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but have not love, I'm like a clanging gong. But it talks of the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. See, there's different kinds of tongues. The tongues that edifies us is the heavenly language that God gives us for our own prayer, for our own worship, our own communion time with him. But there are other tongues. I know of, personally, in this church, people who have prayed with someone who doesn't speak English, and they prayed in tongues, and that person heard them in their own language. It happens. We need to get expectant that God can do that through us. So these are some of the gifts that they talk about. Now, isn't it amazing that you can go to a whole lot of courses run by your work, a whole lot of courses that teach you how to lead and how to do everything and this and the other. But here's the thing, in the Word of God, it tells me that I'm part of a whole body that's full of knowledge and wisdom, supernatural, Holy Spirit knowledge, Holy Spirit wisdom. So if I have a problem at work and I've got a leadership thing, I can go to church and expect God to minister to me. through someone else who has a gift of wisdom, who can encourage me. Someone else might have a gift of encouragement if I've been going through incredibly difficult times. And they might come up, Matt and I know this couple, and he truly has a spiritual gift of encouragement. When you come away from spending time with them, you just feel fantastic. And you feel like you've conquered the world even if you did nothing, because he just makes you feel amazing. And it's not flattery. There's no flattery in it. Sometimes you talk about tough stuff and you just feel fantastic. He has a gift. He has a gift of encouragement. We need to look for the gifts, not just the people who will tell us what we want to hear, because the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the gifts that are in the Word of God. And all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. There's that thing again. It's as he determines, not as we want, not what we want, what we think he should do. It's as he determines. And finally, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. And it says this: Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Again, different letter to different church, and again, Paul is emphasizing the importance of us being part of a body before he talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he says this: And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachings, then miracles, then gifts of healing, again, multiply, then gifts of helping. I want to meet someone with the supernatural gift of helping. I think that's awesome. Some people just help us, and they help us in all different scenarios. That's fantastic. Gifts of guidance, of different kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles. Do you have an expectation that there are Fusion family members here that have been given the gift of working miracles from the Holy Spirit? We need to believe for that, because our God is a miraculous God. The Bible says that his word is followed by signs and wonders. So let's be expectant for that. Do all have the gift of healing, or do all speak in tongues, or do all interpret? And I love that he doesn't answer that, because we can work out the answer. He says, but now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And so some of us might think certain gifts are greater than others, but they're not really. The greater gifts are the ones that have a greater impact for Jesus, the ones that have a greater impact for God. And in that word, it talks about first there's apostles, then there's prophets. There is an order, there is a structure, and we can learn more about some of those gifts in our small groups, etc. Because an apostolic gifting would be someone who goes, if you read what the apostles did in the New Testament, apostolic gift typically goes and plants churches, goes and equips other church leaders, goes and imparts some of that sort of thing. They're not evangelists. Evangelists are not apostolic. Apostolic are not evangelists. There's different offices that you can also have that follow a certain gifting. But we're going to talk about that another time in our small groups. Go ask your small group leader. She or he will be able to help you with all of that. But all of these gifts are given for the building up of the church. I have a Getz. I love my Getz. Little blue Hyundai Getz. I love my Getz. It's nearly 15 years old. It has gone on many adventures, traveled to many places, seen many God stories in it. I love my Getz. So, and my Getz has quite small tires. But if you took the tires of your big 4x4, if you have one, and I know there's some 4x4 enthusiasts in this place, and you put them on my Getz would not function. Just like if you took the tires from my car and put them on a big 4x4, the 4x4 would probably squash them or burst them. Okay? God gives us the grace and the faith we need for the gifting he has given us. It's not about someone having more or less than me. It's about giving us what we need to help that gifting bless the body of Christ. So the faith and the grace gift we're given is in proportion to the gifts that we are given. So then, on those things, we've talked about what the purpose of the gifts are, is to build up and to edify the church. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says this: They should do so, talking about us and with our gifts, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the power, forever and ever. Amen. So we do it through his strength, and we do it to God's glory. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, it says this: "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but in everything should be done in a fitting and orderly manner." And all of those who like planning, structure, you've got your posters, you've got all your diary planned out beautifully, you love a logical order, you're all going, yes, it has to happen in a fitting and orderly manner. Can I remind you that the Holy Spirit's fitting and orderly manner includes the day of Pentecost, where people looked drunk and they talked and sounded funny? You see, the Holy Spirit's fitting and orderly is fitting and orderly in such a way as to give glory to God. Not fitting and orderly to fit into your comforts and your personality for control and boxes. It's actually sits outside of that. Little quick side story. I remember one time we were at a meeting and the Holy Spirit moved and angels sang and it was just absolutely fantastic. And I remember going back to our hotel room and I was absolutely drunk. And my husband, not from liquor, from the Holy Spirit, okay? From the Holy Spirit. And my husband had to help me up the stairs and I was laughing so loud. It was late at night and he kept telling me to keep quiet because there were people asleep and I laughed all the louder in the Holy Spirit. You see, that is fitting and orderly when the Holy Spirit isn't doing that. Through it's not, when he's not and we're just doing it for our experience, then it's not fitting and orderly. So go and learn what's fitting and orderly. And then finally what I want to say to you is, we started off with it's about you. I want to say to you, we said it's not about you, sorry. Now I want to say to you, but it is about you. Because you see, God places gifts in our hands for us to steward. He places gifts for us to use for others. And he's particular about the fact that we do that well. In Matthew 25, he used the gift of the parable of the gifts of the talents, and he rewarded fruitfulness. So God wants you to take what he's placed in your hand, and it might look small to you or insignificant, but he wants you to be fruitful with it. And to be fruitful, we've got to learn from others. We've got to get skilled by others. We've got to get mentored by others. We've got to get discipled. And we've got to go ask for that. You can't wait for someone to come into your world. You've got to push into them to get them to equip you and to train you up. In 2 Timothy 1, it says this: "Fan, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which you received by the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Some of us has left our gifts aside. Some of us have set them aside. Some of them, life got too busy. Some of them, we felt a bit vulnerable maybe because we weren't in control of them. Whatever it is, sometimes we just set our gifts aside. And even Timothy had to be reminded to fan again into flame that gift. Psalm 78, 72 says that David led the people with integrity of heart and skillful hands. It is up to you, because we're the ones who guard and lead the integrity of our heart. And we're the ones who upskill ourselves, who can improve the skills so that we can take what God has given us and we sharpen it and we put it in his hand and we minister to others. Are you willing to be willing and available? That's all that God says. Are you willing to take up opportunities for your gifts to be used? They may not look like the opportunities you wanted. Are you willing to steward them well for the benefit of others? Because you will benefit from their stewarding. Where do you find yourself? Maybe you've never received a gift from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you don't know what that's like. Maybe you just need to ask this morning that, Holy Spirit, make that clear. I want to receive gifts from you. You see, it doesn't say that you can't desire to receive a gift. It just says he chooses which gifts. But he's waiting for a responsive heart, an expectant heart, for you to lean in and receive. Maybe you've received something, but you haven't unwrapped it yet. Maybe you're apprehensive of what it might be. Maybe you just don't like the shape of it. The shape of someone else's was so much better and you thought you wanted that one. I don't know. So maybe you haven't unwrapped it. Maybe you did, but you just haven't started using it. And I'm using the analogy of gifts because we're so familiar with that. But sometimes we receive something from God and we're not quite sure what to do with it, or we don't think it matches us, or we just would rather have a different gift, so we'd stop using it, or we get tired, or there's something happened and life got tough or ministry got tough, and so we let it set aside and we let it get a bit dusty, and maybe we need to start using it again. Maybe we need to improve our skills in using it. Maybe we need to ask someone to help us get better. Maybe we feel like we're stuck with the Spirit, the gift that God's given us, and we don't feel like it's growing. Then get leaders to help you. Maybe you feel like it's time you started multiplying your gift. Get others to help you to do that. Won't you stand with me? We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to meet us where we're at. And I want to encourage you to respond to the Holy Spirit as we, just now we're going to go back into a song, but as we do that, I want to encourage you to respond to the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus loves it when we take an action of faith. And we invite people down here to get ministry, not because the carpet is a magic carpet place. It's not a magic carpet place at all. We have no beliefs of that. But what we do know is that when I step out of my chair, when I step out of where I am, when I walk towards Jesus, when that centurion asked for the healing and for his, and Jesus said to him, it will be done according to your faith. It's because that centurion stepped out and asked. I want to encourage you today, wherever you find yourself, whether you're looking for a gift, whether you're needing to unwrap it, where you're needing to dust off some dust and say, sorry, Jesus, I haven't used, I haven't stewarded well what you put, whatever it is, take a step of faith. Just take a step of faith and God will meet you where you are. Thanks, team.